Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 256, Unstuck, Position Yourself to Receive from the Lord. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, April 24th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's so faithful. Glad to see you this morning and those watching on social media. Okay. The Lord gave me, I was actually praying for my cell group. When was this? About a month ago, several weeks ago, and preparing for my Monday cell group. And the Lord downloaded, gave me this word and just proceeded to download this whole message that I'm going to share with you today. And I'd like to share it with you as well, because I think it can be a blessing for you. So the word is unstuck. That's what he just said, unstuck, when I'm praying for my the ladies in my cell group. I'm like, unstuck? What, you know, what's that all about? So the message, the title of the message today is Unstuck, Position Yourself to Receive from the Lord. And I love how the Holy Spirit just set up with what Tanya shared. It was just a perfect setup for the message today, because she's talking about, you know, receiving from the Lord, receiving healing. He wants to give us all his benefits, like Psalm 103, right? But it's up to us to receive them, to align to his word, to be able to receive. So it's only by God's power and his presence and his word that we can get unstuck from a situation, from a circumstance, from patterns of thinking. A lot of time we're stuck by our own way of thinking about our situation or our circumstance, and that makes us, that traps us, it enslaves us. So who has ever felt stuck at one time or another in their life? Probably everybody, right? Well, Jesus came to unstick us. He is our deliverer, right? He's our healer. He's our everything, and he wants to unstick us. So, because he wants us to advance. We're part of his bride, the glory. He wants us to be the glorious church, right? And he has things for us to do in 22, right? And we can't move forward if we're stuck. Stuck is being stuck, right? So we can't move forward. We can't see a change or receive the breakthrough answer to prayer until we become unstuck. Some of us are maybe find ourselves now in a situation where we're stuck. We're in a stagnant position, if you will. We're not going anywhere because our thinking maybe is stinking thinking, as Joyce Meyer says, and we're not lined up to the word of God or just the way we see our situation. And we're just kind of, woe is me, and I can't, what's going on? And we're just stuck there. I've been there several times. So the Lord says, yield. I love that word. Yield. Like, yield to me. It's surrender. Let me unstick you. But we have to allow him. We have to let him do that, right? Because he's a gentleman. He's there for us, but we've got to allow him to unstick us. So we must surrender our way of thinking. And, you know, if you were here a few weeks ago when Keith Taylor was here, he shared about the bana, this, I believe it's a, is it Greek or Hebrew word, that means fleshly discernment. So we need to surrender that. The way we see things are bana. We need to surrender that to the Lord so that God can show us how to advance, what his way is, what his plan is, right? So yield, child of God, and I say this to myself, I call you to advance in the name of Jesus. Daughter, son, let's advance. Let's get unstuck, right? So thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are our mighty deliverer, and you came to set the captives free. You came to unstick us, Father. You came to save us from ourselves, to save us from sin, to save us from sickness, but to save us from wrong thinking, Father God. I thank you, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit is here to help us. So at the sound, use my words, Father, to minister what you would have, to what you want to bring to each life that's under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, have your way, Holy Spirit. I give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Jesus. We receive everything you have for us, and we yield to you. We yield to you. We surrender to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to jump right in. So Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Right? We hear this verse a lot, but man, is it good. And are we living it? Because it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to live it, right? Sometimes we haven't truly acknowledged him in his ways. Maybe we think we do. We do by mental assent. Oh yeah, trust you, Lord. Oh yeah, I'm acknowledging you. But we don't see really the way, the things the way he sees them. Right? Isaiah, whatever it is that says, my ways are high above your ways, right? We look at our own, we look at our circumstances with our own understanding instead of with his. This makes our path crooked then, because we think we know what we're doing, but we're in a crooked path. And we're not maybe even moving along the path. We're stuck, right? So this scripture says that when we trust him with everything that we are, with our whole heart, and we submit our bana, that word that means your fleshly discernment, your own way of thinking about things, when we submit that to God, the way, our way of thinking, and we acknowledge him in all of our ways, then he will make our path straight. So to acknowledge means to recognize the authority or the validity or the claims of. Wow. So we have to acknowledge him, recognize his authority, his validity, his claim, right? That we get from the word of God. So we acknowledge that, and then he will make our paths straight. In, it says, in all our ways. Think about all your ways, all your parts of, all the parts of your life, right? We say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Is he really? Is he Lord over your finances, what you do with your money, the decisions you make, how to spend your time, what friends you spend time with, hang out with? Everything, everything. We acknowledge him in all our ways, and then he'll make our path straight. We got to get rid of that bana, our fleshly thinking. So that's part of how we get unstuck. Another key scripture for this is of how we get unstuck is Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the world. We can start right there, right? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. What an awesome word that is. Transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Some versions say it different. That's the ESV. So a person conformed to this world is headed for trouble, right? A person conformed to this world thinks like the world teaches, right? They see things from a logical perspective based on their five senses, what I can touch, what I can see, what I can hear, what I can feel, right? That sense knowledge. And that goes against faith. So if we want to walk in God's ways, if we want to acknowledge him in all our ways, we must not be conformed to the world. We must get rid of that bana, right? Because when we compare that worldly thinking, how the world thinks, to the word of God, we would call it a negative perspective, what the world teaches us, what they spoon feed us if we allow it, but we can reject it like a baby that turns her head away when they're trying to be fed peas, you know? No, I want the pineapple delight or whatever it is. You know, we can reject what the world tries to offer us because it's negative and it goes against our faith. It goes against the word of God because the world is dominated by the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. That is in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. It says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Hallelujah, I don't walk there anymore. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Some would say, ooh, that's so harsh. Ooh, that's so true. Thank you, Jesus, right? That he saved us from the passions of our flesh, from carrying out the desires of our body, of the impulses, the appetites that we have for things, right? That we're just kind of led astray with our mind, with our flesh. We were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind because the prince of the power of the air, he roams around, right? He's controlling here, but not us, not the children of God who have we've surrendered our lives to Jesus and we're under his power and authority, right? So Romans 12:2 should be a great hope for us, for those who are born again, who are saved, who are following Jesus, that we have a way other than to be conformed to the world who's controlled by the prince of the power of the air. Hallelujah. This word says that we can be transformed. This word meaning Romans 12:2, right? We can be transformed, turned into something totally different. Like the butterfly goes into a cocoon. It's got to come out. If you want to know all the process of how that happens, talk to Tanya because she's got a study on it and she knows about it and it's really cool. But we can be transformed like that butterfly. We can be turned into something else in our minds, right by our minds. When our minds are renewed is better said. Our minds don't have to receive death. Our minds don't have to be dominated by the prince of the power of the air. That is good news. Thank you, Jesus, that there's a way out for us, right? The Greek word, I'm getting into Greek and Hebrew and stuff. It's just fun to study. Any other Greek and Hebrew study nerds out there? It's fun, right? Okay, here's a whammy. Good luck spelling this. But it's the Greek word for renewing is anakainosis. Anakainosis. Do you want me to spell it? Those of you who take it. So it's A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S-I-S. But you put the accent on the I, so it's anakainosis. I practiced many times the phonetic saying of this. So it means renewal, right? Renovation, complete change for the better. Think about the caterpillar. What that looks like, the caterpillar goes into the cocoon. It comes out a beautiful butterfly. I'd say that's a change for the better, don't you? Lord changes us from being a slimy little green caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly. Hallelujah. Affected by the Holy Spirit. That's another part of the definition. Affected by the Holy Spirit, a spiritual part of the definition. It's the going up to a new level or renewal. So Romans 12:2, think about anakainosis. That's the renewing, right? Going up to a new level, the renewal. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, going up to a totally new level in your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Hallelujah. That is some good news. So, yeah, thank you, Jesus. You can praise him. It's all right. We'll allow that here. My God is good. Yes, he's so good. So as we are continually renewed, it's a continual process, this anakainosis. I'm getting better as I say it. The more that that happens, the more that we renew our mind by the word of God, the more we will be able to discover what his perfect and pleasing and good will is, right? It's like the child who's disciplined by his father, but the more he gets to know his father's heart, that he's doing it out of love, right? The more he'll understand what his father wants for him, and that he's really a loving father, and that when he says, no, don't walk out into the street, or no, don't touch the hot stove, it's because he loves him, right? So as we're renewed, as our minds are renewed to this word and we allow him to transform us, we know we grow closer to his heart, right? And we're transformed. It's an awesome thing. So less of the world and more of Jesus, right? In our way of thinking, we don't want to be conformed to this world. We let go of anything that has been given to me that I've bought into for a period of time or whatever in my life that is ruled by the prince of the power of the air, and bring it on, Jesus, right? I go like this, like osmosis doesn't really work. You really have to read and say the word and confess the word, right? I wish I, some days that I could sleep on it and get it all in there, but it's fun to read it and commune with him and get to know his father heart. So a specific verse then that the Lord gave me in this whole download after Romans 12:2 was Romans 12:12, move down a little bit in Romans 12. And this is how that the Lord was saying in this particular download, how to get unstuck, right? So we know we need to be renewed by the changing of our mind, right? Transformed by the renewal of our mind. And then this word in Romans 12:12 is another way. Three things. We're going to break this down and look at. This is how God is saying to us we can be some ways that we can be unstuck. So Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We're going to break these three parts down. The ESV says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So this is very different advice than what the world will give you when you're going through a trial or a tribulation, right? It's different. So we're going to take a closer look at it. So the first one, be joyful in hope. Hallelujah. The King of joy lives inside of us. And that is good. And so we can imagine yourself to the fullest extent being joyful in hope. What does that look like for your current situation, your hard trial or whatever you're going through? Imagine yourself in the middle of that thing, but being joyful to the max, joyful in hope to the max. That's a game changer. Because you can walk around, I'm joyful, I got joy in the Lord, I'm walking in the joy of the Lord, the Holy Ghost today, right? No matter what is coming against me, I've got some things coming against me, I'll share. And I'm doing my best to stay joyful in hope, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Most people walk around in the world depressed, in despair, not joyful in hope. They're depressed in despair. So being joyful in hope is it's going to shine a bright light. It's a refreshing change. It's a breath of fresh air. Hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had. Faith and hope work together. Without hope, your faith can't hold on to anything. I think of it as like a container, right? Without hope, your faith can't hold on to anything, since faith is the substance of things hoped for, like we talk about in Hebrews 11:1, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, what you're hoping for. So these two go together. When your hope has become a revelation, what you're hoping for, it has become a revelation to you on the inside, then your faith takes a hold of it. That's fun. Hebrews 6:18-20. It says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. That's the Holy of Holies they're talking about, right? Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right, so that's Hebrews 6, 18 through 20. Jesus goes into the presence of God on our behalf and makes your hope a reality. That is good news, right? When Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The earth shook, the veil broke from the top to the bottom, right? And so we could then have free access. The priest didn't have to go on our behalf and like go on behalf of us. And then we, you know, would like the people would come up to the priest or after, I don't know how exactly that would work, but you know, it's like the people would be feeding on the crumbs of the priest's experience, right? No more. Each one of us, we have free access to boldly go to the throne of grace, right? So he goes into the presence of God and makes our hope a reality. Hope is the anchor for the soul. Okay, think about a big yacht or any kind of a boat. An anchor keeps the boat steady, right? If you put an anchor out on the boat, you know, into the water from the, and it's attached to the boat. What's happening to the boat? It's not going anywhere, going nowhere fast, right? So hope acts as an anchor for our soul, the word says. Our soul is our mind, our will, like what our desire is, and our emotions. So think about your mind, your will, and your emotions. Hope is an anchor. You are steady and you are not going anywhere moving off of this thing once you get on this thing, right? Get on it and stay on it. Anchor, hope. Hope is the anchor of our soul. So when you have that hope as an anchor for your soul, the devil can't move you with your circumstances. Nah, 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 nah. You can't move me because hope is an anchor for my soul. I am grounded here and I'm not moving off of this position, right? That is good news. I think that's a reason to be joyful right there, right? Hallelujah. I'm getting excited preaching to myself up here. This is good. My God is good, you guys. Okay, Romans 4. This is another scripture passage about hope. You could go and do a whole study about hope and let's do that because it's a good thing. Okay. Romans 4, 18 through 21 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, I love this, without weakening in his faith, even though the years were passing on, he didn't weaken in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Hallelujah. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief. No wavering. He had the anchor. He was anchored regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That gets me excited. I don't know about you. But Abraham's hope was based on God's promise to him, right? He received that into his heart. He took that promise into his heart, and it anchored him then. Hope kept feeding his faith in spite of the circumstances, in spite of seeing that his body was as good as dead and that Sarah's womb was also dead, right? It did not look good. And as the years rolled on, Can you imagine this, you know, 100 years old, Sarah was 90. They're like maybe, you know, a little walking, not as much like 20-year-olds. and they're going to pick out a baby carriage or something. They're buying baby stuff. They're getting baby stuff. They're getting ready. Hallelujah. Because his hope was based on God's promise, and he was fully persuaded. We need to be fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised, what he said that he would do. So there is a joy in that hope, friends. There's an inner strength that comes. Joy, when you can be anchored, you can be firm, you can be steady. I'm not moving. It's like the lighthouse. It doesn't move, right? It stays there. It's a beacon of light so that other boats out there at the sea can find their way. We can be anchored in that hope, joyful in that hope, and be like a lighthouse that's not moving for the other boats out there, the people in the world. And believers even need this too, right? Need us to be. The world, everyone needs us to be for Jesus, anchored in his hope, joyful in that hope. The devil can't push you around or toss you about in the waves when you're anchored with hope. With hope, you're not focused on the circumstances, but you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the developer of your faith. And you keep your eyes on his resurrection power breaking through in your life. So no pity party, no woe is me, but your joy, you can be joyful in that hope. It's cause to praise and to thank him, right? So let his joy be your strength, like Paul and Silas in the prison. I think of this story, this story just impacts me so much. I want to be like Paul and Silas, man. They were flogged, they were beaten, they were persecuted, they were taken before the town magistrates after the, you know, people were a bit upset because they cast the demon out of the girl that was doing sorcery and telling the fortunes. Remember that story in Acts 16? So in verse 23, let's just read it. It says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. That's a reason for joy, right? Wow. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wait, what? Go back. They were in the inner cell and they were fastening their feet in the stocks. Does your Bible say about midnight, verse 25? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Is that right? I'm reading that right? Okay. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Wow. They are bloody and beaten, persecuted, right? When I studied this, the inner cell is like a dungeon, you guys. It's like bad. We can't even imagine. Our prisons here must seem like a palace compared to what this was. Dark and cold, dungeon, inner cell, and their feet being fastened in stocks was like they would be in a lying down position. I'm sure there were rats running around and spiders and who knows what else, cockroaches, right? Man, but they were praying and singing hymns to God in that condition. The joy that they had, inner joy, not coming from their circumstances, the inner joy, right? On the inside, they were grounded in that hope. Hope of who Jesus was, right? That is amazing to me. I want to be like that. Wow. Be joyful in hope, singing praise to God. And you know the rest of the story. What happens? The earth began to shake, right? The earth shook. Sorry for my English. I'm excited up here. The earth shook. Deliverance happened. The prisoners were set free. Hallelujah. They were set free because two men, despite their circumstances, decided, we have hope. We have hope on the inside of us. We are going to not look at our circumstances that we've been beaten and persecuted and flogged. We're going to sing praises to our God because he is good and he is faithful. And we can be grounded. We can be joyful in that hope. Hallelujah. So when I grow up, I want to be like Paul and Silas. Okay, so we're moving on. That was be joyful in hope. That's the first main way from Romans 12 that God is instructing us how we can get unstuck from our own ways of thinking, right? Our stinking thinking. So be joyful in hope. The second part of Romans 12:12 is be patient in affliction. Oh, who loves patience? Raise your hand if you love patience. Hoo-wee. So don't just tolerate affliction, right? Because patience is actually different, as we're studying in the Faith That Moves Mountain book. It's different than what we sometimes think of it. It's not weak and submissive, but it's a powerful force of consistency, staying steady and unmovable in faith. It's having perseverance for the long haul, endurance to run the marathon, right? So that is counterculture. We talked about not being transformed to the pattern of this world. Whoo, boy. How about microwave society? How about we want everything fast? Amazon Prime, I looked this up. Did you know? Who loves Amazon Prime out there? You can get it. How fast can you get it these days?
One day.
Sometimes, I mean, I've had things come the same day in a few hours. I mean, it is crazy. There are 200 million subscribers. This was January of 22 of this year. 200 million subscribers to Amazon Prime because we all want it now and we want it fast. And bring it to my door, right? Woo! We don't want to wait. The world reinforces that what our flesh feels and what our flesh tells us, that waiting is bad. Waiting for something is bad. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Waiting is good for us. When you're waiting in Jesus, it's good. It produces character. Who wants character? Nobody wants to raise their hand. Yeah, I'll deal with a bad character if it means I've got to wait for it. No, but if you think about it, you wait for what you value. You will stand in a long line. Those that went to this big event at the Mabee Center in Tulsa this weekend, right? How long did you guys have to wait to get in there? 5 hours, because they had a value. They knew there was going to be value in getting into that huge auditorium at the Oral Roberts University and being with how many? 10,000 believers? More than that? How many? More than that. More than 10,000. So they had a value. They understood, hey, we're going to meet with God. And corporately, more than 10,000 believers coming together, praying in the Spirit. Can you imagine that? Woo-wee! So they wouldn't have waited if they didn't value that, right? You wait for what you value. The Bible says we should be joyful about having to wait. Smile. It's okay. James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy when you have to wait 10 days instead of Amazon Prime for something to be delivered to your doorstep. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God's interested in the process that he does in our heart while we're waiting. And it's a wow. It's like gold being refined, my friends. There's something so special that ministers to the heart of God when we say, I trust you and I'm waiting. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm not going to create an Ishmael. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands to try to speed it up and get it any faster. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to yield to you, Jesus. And there's something that nobody can take away. It might be a trial and it might be very difficult, but there's a, I can't even put it into words. There's a bond. There's something that's created between you and your heavenly Father when you are having to wait, and he knows you're waiting on him. And it is special, and it produces that character in you. It produces that perseverance. It says, let perseverance finish its work. When, what happens? What does that look like when perseverance finishes its work? That means you get the breakthrough, right? When it finishes its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If you're not lacking anything, that means you received what you were hoping for, right? What your faith was going after. Wow. And that is counterculture. Amen. That is way against what our culture, what the world teaches us. We need to have our minds renewed to consider it joy when we're waiting, when we're in a facing a trial of many or many kinds. So patience, and we read about this, we're reading, studying about this in the Faith That Moves Mountain book. Patience undergirds your faith. It holds the door of faith open until the breakthrough comes. So we need that patience. Don't groan and go, oh, patience. Be careful if you ask for patience, because you're going to get, you know. No, it's good. It's good for us. Get the word of God about your situation alive in your heart, whether it's a healing, it's the salvation of a family member, whatever it is. Pay off your debts and stand on that. Like Ephesians 6 says, stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, what do you do then? You keep standing, right? You stand firm then. So Gloria Copeland, in Lesson 7 of the Faith That Moves Mountain books, I'm going to quote her. She says, when you learn to release the power of patience, you can receive anything from God that agrees with his word. How about that? That is good. I think that's worth reading again. When you learn to release the power of patience, you can receive what? Anything from God that agrees with his word. This is where most people have failed when attempting to walk by faith. But it doesn't have to be so. Patience is the difference between trying and doing. Some people go fishing and others catch fish. Think about the difference between that, right? Some attempt to walk by faith, others succeed. Patience makes the difference. If you're just going fishing, you might give up after an hour. Those that went to catch fish, maybe they have to stay there 4 hours, but they're catching fish, right? Patience is what keeps them there, because I didn't come to just go fishing. I came to catch fish, and I'm going home with a fish, right? It's patience that makes the difference. Satan tries to get you to back down by shoving in your face like how things look, by getting you into that sense knowledge. Well, look at this. You don't look healed. And look at that. And oh, this looks real bad. And to feel in the natural realm. He wants you to discredit and give up on the word of God. Right? You either fling away your confidence in God's word and side with the devil that it's not working, and you just give up on it, or you continue to stand on God's promises. You choose. You can't have both. It's one or the other. So also from the book, patience, this is, I'm going to quote again, patience refuses, well, this is my paraphrase, this part. Patience refuses Satan's arguments and rejects it as a lie. So when all these arguments come to your head, it doesn't look like it, and this and that, and your family member's going really straight. Look what they're doing now. Patience says no, and it holds back those lies. It recognizes and rejects those arguments as a lie. Patience has no fear. Now I'm quoting. Patience knows that God's word has never failed. Patience knows that when faith is exercised to receive God's word, success is inevitable. So stand your ground, hold out, be patient. How am I doing? Let's check in with my timer. Okay, praise the Lord. The last one here, faithful in prayer. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, just like patience. So that means you have it. When you were born again, you got this. It's part of the package, faithfulness. The world isn't faithful to anything, right? You see people left and right breaking promises, breaking contract, breaking covenants, divorcing, all this stuff. People not being true, not keeping their word, not true to their word. They change friends or change spouses like we change our clothing. I mean, we can laugh about that, but it's true and it's sad, right? So we need to exercise faithfulness in talking to our Heavenly Father. This point is being faithful in prayer, right? Prayer is so important. It's of vital importance. It is our connection to God. It's your personal conversation with Him. And we need that. That's our lifeline, right? Focus on your relationship with Him. He not only wants to hear you, He listens and He wants to hear you, but He also wants to give you, like, to speak to your heart. He wants to whisper truth to your heart. He wants to correct you sometimes. He wants to just say, I love you. He wants to encourage you and say, keep going. Don't give up. Sometimes we just need to quiet ourselves in prayer and give Him a chance, because remember, it's a give and take, a relationship. If you have a friend that just talks and never gives you a chance to say anything, you feel kind of like, well, I had something to say, but I guess they don't want to hear it. You know, it's a give and take, a back and forth. So make sure in your prayer time to be quiet, to listen to Him, to receive from Him, right? Because maybe we get up and I'm guilty of this. Help me, Jesus. Okay, I'm done. Say my prayers. And He's like, there she goes. I can't even. Oh, and it was good what I was going to tell her too. It was going to really help her today, you know? And we're just, you know, not acknowledging Him in all our ways. And then how does my day go that day? Probably a little crooked, my path, you know? Because I got up too fast. I rushed it. And He's like, wait. Wanted to say something. Faithful in prayer. Are you showing up faithfully to that one-on-one, private, and intimate time with Him? James 5:6 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the second part is where I want to focus. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So don't give up. Excuse me. Your prayers are not in vain. Keep praying. Keep pressing in. Keep that communication with Him open. Be faithful. Be consistent every day. Never give up praying all throughout your day. You're washing the dishes. You're driving your car. Pray. Pray in the Spirit and on all occasions. The Bible says, right? Because there is nothing like hearing His voice. It is the best thing ever, right? Like really receiving into your heart what He says to you when He whispers to you. It's a game changer. It changes everything. I always say to the Lord, it just melts my heart when I hear Your voice. Like I know that that's God's voice to me. And that hearing His voice is part of us getting our mind renewed. Because without hearing His voice, we're just going on default, our own understanding, right? Our own bana. But His voice will unstick you because He says, go this way. Like the Bible says, there's a scripture that says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, walk, this is the way, walk in it. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, right? That's going to change the way you walk, the direction you walk, right? Paul mentions prayer as a weapon that we have after he talks about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And verse 18, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It's part of the weapons, part of the armor is prayer on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, bless you, and all kinds of requests. And let me say that started, verse 18 starts with, it says, pray in the Spirit. Praying in your spirit language, in your heavenly language, praying in tongues. Whoo, guys, it is powerful. And sing in tongues. It's fun. It's awesome. He wants to reveal mysteries to you. And you know what I love about it? The devil is out of that equation. It's you and God speaking mysteries. He is speaking mysteries to you. You are speaking mysteries to him. And it doesn't matter. Get your bana out of the way. That's like, well, I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't, maybe. But that's okay. He can bring you revelation of that. And in our personal prayer time, we can ask him to bring us revelation, interpretation for what we are praying. And I find that I might not get it in the moment, but sometimes I just get it later in the day. And like a scripture drops to me, or I'm talking to somebody and something comes out. And I was like, I bet I maybe prayed that in tongues this morning and I didn't know it. And it came to me when I needed it. Right? And that's good enough for me. So get your bana out of the way, your own mental understanding, and pray in the Spirit, because it is powerful. Just because you receive a promise or a prophetic word doesn't mean that you just sit back and you do nothing and, well, God's going to do it then. And I don't do it. I don't have any part in it. No, you keep praying. You keep that connection open. Be faithful in prayer. Yes, you rest in that promise, but you need to keep in communication with him, because he might be wanting to show you the path of how to get there, right? Step by step, how to reach that promise so it becomes a reality in your life. It's not sit back and coast time. Okay, now it's all on you, God. No, but he wants to position you. And so we need to hear him, right? But if we're not hearing him, maybe because we're not being faithful in prayer. So I'm exhorting myself when I'm sharing this with you guys. So be faithful in prayer. Show up to the meeting. Listen to his heart. Stay open in communication with him. So there are many biblical examples. Homework. I like to give homework when I preach. Who wants homework this week? Do a study or ask the Lord and just study maybe one. Find a scriptural, you know, a passage in scripture of somebody getting unstuck. Tanya talked about one. Well, two stories in one, right? About Jairus's daughter and about the woman with the issue of blood. Right? They got unstuck. She did her homework already. All right. Extra credit. Blind Bartimaeus. He got unstuck physically and spiritually, right? In Mark 10. The man healed at the pool of Bethesda. I'm giving you some, okay, already this is like help starting you on your homework. That's in John 5. How about the Samaritan woman at the well? She got unstuck in a big way. That conversation, she was there and she had her encounter with Jesus. He encountered her. And man, talk about renewal of the mind, right? Go study that. That's a cool scripture. And there's so many other ones. Paul and Silas, there's one. I mean, they already had some right thinking going on, I think. But they got unstuck from their physical situation, didn't they? So their good thinking helped them. Praise the Lord. Because God honors, and God honors his word, right? And so you can do a study of those, some of those scriptural people in scripture that got unstuck. So here's the conclusion. Yield your thoughts. It all starts there. Your perspective, your bana, your own understanding. Get the word of God so your mind can be renewed. Don't let the world just sweep you away, because it will if you're not anchored, right? You don't know it all. I don't know it all. God knows best for you. We need to take our limits off of God in the way we think. Take the lid off. Take the limits off, right? Yield your thinking because God is so much bigger. And as I was preparing this message, God did that. He confronted me about how I was thinking about healing. Well, yeah, I haven't really received my healing. God confronted me because I was studying about my understanding, my banah. He's like, yeah, your banah needs to get out of the way, doesn't it? And I was like, yeah. And then healing happened and I'm experiencing a healing, you guys. Praise the Lord. But I had to get out of the way because, no, I'm not being healed and I don't feel it. We're like a motor that's just clanging in the background there, you know? God is faithful. Get your mind out of the way so that you can be then joyful in hope. You have Jesus, so you're a joy carrier. Hallelujah, Juanita, you're a joy carrier. No matter what comes your way, you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Joy will help you to triumph. Sing praise to God through your trial, like Paul and Silas did, and watch him shake the earth and grant a mighty deliverance. Hallelujah. What's the song that says, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. With hands lifted high, whatever it says, right? Praise your way through it. Joyful in hope. Second part, be patient in affliction. Remain steadfast. Regardless of what situation you are facing, don't give up, but continue to put the word first place in every situation. Don't give up. And then finally, be faithful in prayer. Connect your heart to the loving heart of the Father. Allow him to speak to you. Show up to that one-on-one appointment every day and be faithful in your prayer time, in your prayer life. It's a lifestyle, right? A concluding encouragement from Scripture is Romans 5:1-5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We can boast in that, in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Help us, Jesus, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, God, that your ways are much higher than our ways. Your thoughts are high above our thoughts. You know the beginning from the end. Thank you, Father God, that you overcame death and the grave for us. Father, you came to deliver us from ourselves, from our thinking. Father, we surrender to you. We surrender. We give over to you our banah, our fleshly way of thinking and seeing things, of seeing our situations. We give it to you right now. In Jesus' name, Father, we want to trust you. We do. We trust you with all of our heart. We lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge you, Jesus, and you make our paths straight. I thank you for helping each one this week and even today, Father, to surrender their thoughts, to take the limits off of our thinking so that we can get unstuck. You want to position us, Father God. Help us, Father. Help us with the power of your Holy Spirit, the advocate that lives inside of us, the paraclete, the one that's come beside us to cheer us on, to say, keep going, to say, be anchored, have hope as an anchor, to be joyful in that hope, to be faithful in prayer, patient in affliction. Help us, Father God. We have those fruits of the Spirit. They already live inside of us, but we need your help, Holy Spirit, to walk it out. To walk it out so that we can be victorious, so that we can advance on the path. Father, to bring you glory and honor, because there is work to do. You have people for us to share with, to witness to pray for, to minister to. Father God, you have plans for us, and we want to carry on in those plans. We don't want to be stuck. So praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus, that you are the one that knows how to unstick us. Thank you, Jesus, for positioning us at my Father's house to receive that deliverance so we can move forward and advance in your plan, in your purpose, and your will. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. I thank you, Jesus, because you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all, Jesus, worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord God. You are good and you are faithful. Thank you, Jesus. There's no one like you. And Father God, I lift up to you all the friends that are listening on live stream. Father God, I pray blessing of abundant life, the resurrection power, the resurrection life of Jesus rising up in them this week in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, that you're helping those that are praying and waiting for a breakthrough. You are helping them, Father, to increase, to work on, to strengthen that muscle, that fruit of the Spirit of patience. Father God, you say to those out there, and even us here, you say, don't give up. Don't give up. Press in. Keep going. Keep taking a step. I am with you and I'm for you, not against you. My word is true. If you hang on to it, you will see. I will see you through to victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for that patience undergirding our faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Bless them to be a blessing this week, that they can be a lighthouse, steady and unmovable, a light to the other people around them in their workplace and wherever they go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we break the power of the enemy in people's lives, trying to come to kill, steal, and destroy, because Jesus, you have come to give life and life abundantly. So I thank you, Father God. We break that power of the enemy now in Jesus' name. We break the power of the enemy that's trying to come with symptoms and sickness and illness. We break it off of people now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, that you break bondages. You break the yoke, Father God, with your presence, with your anointing, victory in Jesus' name, victory, victory, amen. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, you are good and you are worthy. Mighty deliverer, in Jesus' name. Was I supposed to pray for them now? I guess that was later. I sped ahead. Well, praise the Lord. I was getting excited up here. You stick on, stick around, friends that are live stream. I prayed for you now, but it's all good. Amen. Amen. I hope you receive something from the heart of God today. Let that seed be watered this week as you spend your time with him. Be blessed. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.